My guest at this time is author and filmmaker Dinesh D'Souza. His latest book and film are entitled Death of a Nation, Plantation Politics, and the Making of the Democratic Party. And Dinesh, thanks so much for being with us.
Good to be on the show.
Well, the premise for this project seems to be that the volcanic response to the Trump victory in 2016 is unlike anything we've seen since the reaction to Abraham Lincoln's win in 1860. Lincoln's win, of course, was followed by the secession of southern states and the bloodiest war in American history. So are you saying this is the closest we've been to another civil war since then? And if so, how do you reach that conclusion?
Well, there's so much craziness going on after Trump's election victory that I don't think there's any precedent for it in our lifetime. You have to go further back. Reagan, for example, had he lived now, I think would be a little baffled because Reagan came of age in an era of gentleman's politics. But the waters are just too roiled. Now, the waters were even more roiled when Lincoln ran in 1860. So Lincoln would understand our moment. And let's remember that in 1860, what was the problem? The problem was that the Democrats, not just the Southern Democrats, but the Northern Democrats, refused to accept the result of a free election. And so chaos resulted from that. Now, the chaos now is taking a different form. It's not an effort to break up the country, but it's rather an effort to oust Trump by any means necessary. But there are some eerie parallels.
You mentioned plantation politics in this book quite a bit. What do you mean by that? And given that we're so polarized now, is it exclusive to the traditional notion of African Americans being expected to stay within the Democratic Party?
The plantation was invented as an ethnic scheme to keep one group, in this case blacks, you know, down on the plantation in captivity, but also in complete dependency and also being ripped off, you might say, for the benefit of others. Now, the Democratic Party has never given up on the plantation. Even in the late 19th and early 20th century, when they created these northern urban political machines that were mainly for new immigrants coming to America, those were designed on a plantation scheme. Let's remember the new immigrants who came, the Irish, the Italians, the Jews. They were poor. They were dependent. They were fearful. They were in a new country. In some ways, their predicament was similar to the slaves. And so the Democrats went, look, let's figure out a scheme to get these guys roped in so that we can make them dependent on the Democratic Party. And so this has continued all the way to the present. I think the main difference now is that we have a multiracial plantation, not only the black ghetto, but the Latino barrio, the Native American reservations. So it's kind of like the Democrats identify an ethnic group and they say, we're not going to campaign for your votes individually. We want your groups, we want your votes collectively, and we're going to create a kind of institutional dependency, intergenerational dependency on the Democratic Party. You'll never get out of poverty, but as a result, we'll take care of you forever, and in exchange, you agree to vote for us.
So what is the end game given in this current toxic political environment? Is it simply for them to get back in power? Is there more to it?
Well, the Democrats ultimately want to rule society with a kind of triangular alliance that includes academia, the media, Hollywood. That's why these groups have become megaphones for the left and for the Democratic Party. I think Trump needs to realize that his main challenge is how to break up this plantation, how to create, you might say, what Lincoln would call emancipation. And so the Republican Party has a great history in this. The Republican Party, of course, defeated the old slave plantation. But the Republican Party has also fought the Democratic Party's segregation schemes, its pro-fascist policies in the 1930s, its effort to ultimately expand the plantation. So Republicans have ways in which they can draw on the great history of the party in order to make the country better, restore the American dream.
It seems like folks, especially those who are engaged in social media, perhaps that's not their greatest use of time, but everything is so polarized now, it seems like any sort of dialogue basically boils down to zingers and insults. So how do you chip away at all of these preconceived notions that, as you suggest, have been around for 150 years or longer?
Well, notice that what you just said corroborates what was happening in the country in 1860. You could call it the secession of the American mind, which occurred before the actual attempted secession of the country. And now we are also in a situation where, like you say, each side is talking to itself for the most part. And the middle seems to have thinned out a little bit. Now, I attribute this mainly to the gangsterization of the Democratic Party. And what I mean by that, if I, you know, cite my own case as an example, I was charged by the Obama administration with exceeding campaign finance laws, a kind of, it threw the weight of the federal government against me. Now, Jimmy Carter would not have done that. That was the old Democratic Party. But under Obama and under Hillary, you had this sort of turn in which the weapons of the state are used against political opponents. Now, there's no way to compromise with that. It's not like we can have a middle position on that. We actually have to just stop it. And so Lincoln understood the same thing. He understood that at some point, you know, Lincoln had made all kinds of bending concessions. But at some point, he realized, we had an election. I have an electoral mandate. I campaigned on it, but now the American people have ratified it. So it's their mandate, not mine. And so I'm not going to give it up at any cost. Lincoln said, I would rather die than give it up. So I think Trump has some of Lincoln's solidity, some of Lincoln's kind of backbone, you might say. And he, unlike a lot of Republicans, when the media starts attacking him, he doesn't run under, hide under his desk or run away from the room. He fights back. And that's the kind of spirit the Republican Party needs.
We've seen some of the tension and toxicity in this country ratchet up to new levels now. We've seen violence in some cases. We've even seen a member of Congress urging supporters to confront Trump administration officials in public and so forth. We also see that certain ideas are no longer welcome in the public sphere. So what do you see that's trending nowadays that troubles you most in this evolution of politics?
Well, one of the themes I explore in the book, and I can, this is also a big theme in the movie, which is also called Death of a Nation. It opens August 3rd, is this notion that the left is always accusing Trump of being a fascist. And yet, who are the people who are blocking speakers from coming on campus? Who are the people who wear masks and hoods and go around carrying weapons and beating up people who disagree with their point of view? Who are the people who use the FBI and the CIA and the State Department and the DOJ against their political opponents? So this is fascism in the clinical institutional sense, and you can see that it's coming entirely from the left. Incidentally, historically, the fascists were on the left. Mussolini was a Marxist. He was a lifelong socialist. Hitler, of course, named his party the National Socialist German Workers' Party. So it's really amazing how it's almost comical to see the way in which the left today tries to extract the socialism out of National Socialism.
In the promotional materials for Death of a Nation, both the movie and the book, you've got images of Lincoln and Trump together. Are you making a comparison between the two beyond the fact that they obviously came to office at time of tremendous turmoil?
Well, yes. I'm not saying that they're the same personality. I mean, Lincoln was brooding, melancholy, philosophical. Temperamentally, he's quite different from Trump. But I mentioned earlier that they both have this kind of firm backbone. I would say beyond this, that their ideology is the same. You know, some people say, particularly on the left, oh, you know, the two parties have changed. They've switched platforms and so on. No. In Lincoln's time, he defined the Democratic Party very clearly. Lincoln's view of slavery was the following. He said, slavery can be defined as you work and I eat. So slavery is a kind of theft. And Lincoln said that this theft principle of confiscating other people's wealth, this is the core of the Democratic Party. And meanwhile, Lincoln said the Republican Party stands for the idea that the hand that makes the corn has the right to put the corn in its own mouth. In other words, people have a right to keep the fruit of their labor. Well, you know, look at this. 150 years later, those are still the identifiable principles of the two parties. The Republican Party stands for keeping the fruits of your labor. The Democratic Party stands for wealth confiscation. Not a whole lot has changed.
You say in some of the taglines here that Lincoln saved America the first time. Can we do it again? Who is involved in we, and how do you do it?
Well, the we is here refers to Trump, but it also refers to rank-and-file Republicans. And rank-and-file Republicans are, for the most part, lining up behind Trump. But interestingly, the Republican establishment, or at least a powerful faction in it, is not. And then, of course, you've got these never-Trumpers, and these guys are so obsessed with Trump's peccadilloes, oh, Trump this and Trump that, that they miss the larger picture of what's going on. And what's going on, really, is an effort by a major party, now again, as in 1860, to steal the result of a lawful election. And so the never-Trumpers are becoming complicit in that theft scheme. by focusing on things that are actually peripheral. The issue really isn't Stormy Daniels. The issue is that we have a democratic society that cast its verdict in November of 2016, and a major party is trying to undo that.
We're talking with Dinesh D'Souza, the book and the movie, Death of a Nation, Plantation Politics and the Making of the Democratic Party. And Dinesh, as our exit question here, I know this project was well underway before President Trump issued the pardon for you. Some might be wondering, though, whether you feel that you owe him something, and perhaps this movie is part of that. Talk about your reaction to the pardon and to that criticism.
Well, you know, interestingly, Trump certainly didn't owe me a pardon. I wasn't on the Trump train, you might say, from the beginning. I stayed out of the primaries and only came aboard, you might say, when Trump became the nominee, as I would have supported any Republican nominee. The pardon actually came as a kind of surprise. Senator Ted Cruz had raised the issue with Trump. And I think Trump was familiar with my case. I mean, to put it in Trump's own blunt words, he goes, "You got screwed." And I think that's really the basis on which Trump decided that, look, some bad guys did this to Dinesh. I have the power to undo it. And so I'm going to. Now, the movie, of course, this movie, Death of a Nation, was conceived a year ago. We scripted it in the fall. We shot it, some of it actually in Europe and in Germany, the fascist part of it, in January. So this long predates the pardon and can't possibly be related to it.
How has your life changed since the pardon?
Well, my life has changed in a fantastic way. I mean, it's not just the inconveniences that I no longer have to undergo. It's not just that I now have my sort of rights back. I can vote. I can, you know, own a firearm. I feel in a broader sense it has lifted a cloud. It has taken this kind of felon badge that the left was trying to sort of hang around my neck. It's lifted that. It's given me my full American dream back. And so for that, I'm both exhilarated and grateful.
Dinesh, unfortunately, we're out of time. Thank you, sir, very much for being with us today.
Thank you very much.
Dinesh D'Souza is an author and filmmaker. His latest book and film are entitled Death of a Nation, Plantation Politics, and the Making of the Democratic Party. The film opens August 3rd. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.